Parshas Vahaloista, the Torah tells us about Ches Miriam. Later on in the Torah, we have a pasuk that says we should always remember the Ches Miriam. Zachar Eishah Asa Hashem Alkecha Miriam, by Zachar Ches Miriam. So the Magen Avraham says, in Tzimis Samach, based on the Ramban, and the Hashmat is the Mitzvah says, and the Minyan Mitzvah, but that's the Mitzvah says. And you have to have a Kriya Satori, because the Alkech Shemayim, because the Prophet Ramban, you have to have a Kriya Satori. Like once a year, like Parshas Zoh. Once a year, you have to learn about Ches Miriam. So he has to kasha, how come we don't have a special Kriyas Parshas Ches Miriam? How come the Gabbai doesn't make an announcement? Everybody should have mind to be Yotzei, the prophets, and so on. So he says that the Gnus Mishal Tzadikim, since she was a big Tzadikah, so the Chacham didn't want to make a special hullabaloo about the whole thing, to make a special announcement for the whole Achraza. Special hatter and everything, but he says you have to have in mind when they lay in parashas Baloisa, you have to have in mind to be yotzei zechiras Ches Miriam when they lay in the parasha. And he refers you to the din of the first in this parasha Zochan Shabbos before Purim. So when he hears the parasha Hashavua parasha Zochan, should have in mind to be yotzei. So throughout the year there is no special parasha Ches Miriam. So you always have to have in mind when they lay in parasha Hashavua to be yotzei. So all those who are Bali Kriya, whether the old Balkriya, the new Balkriya, whoever the Balkriya is, whoever we're in, it's there, they should all have in mind to be mighty everybody with a double kavana this week. Number one, the regular parshas Hashavua, and number two, the special minyan of Zechiras Ches Miriam. What's talking the mitzvah of Zechiras Ches Miriam? So there were possibly two different kavanas. We spoke about it earlier this year. Possibly two kavanas. The Sifrei says on that pasuk, Zohar Reishashosha Hashem Alkecha Miriam, that it's a mitzvah to remember the Yisra of Lashon Hara. That's the Yisra of Lashon Hara. Then Miriam HaTzadeka sinned against her brother. The Sifrei says like that. The Chafetz Chaim has written so many Svarim on Lashon Hara. One of his Svarim is entitled Zochel and Miriam. And in that paper, as well as many other of his Svarim, probably all the Svarim, about Lashon Hara, he quotes that Sifrei, that this pasuk Zochar Eis Asher Asher Hashem Kecha Miriam, etc., is the marker of the Yisra of Lashon Hara. It's one of the makaras of the Yisra of Lashon Hara. And this is great, points out a Kal V'chayim, a Mad of Miriam, who was a tzaddikis, and who was speaking about her brother, whom she loved so much, and he wasn't mocked, and he was such an anav. He didn't get angry, he didn't feel hurt, he didn't feel insulted or anything at the Lashon Hara that she spoke. And still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished her with such a terrible onesh of Saras. Saras is a punishment of the person who's Mishalor Chutz V'Gimel Machnos, not only Chutz V'Migdash and Chutz V'Harabais, Chutz V'Yishlan, Chutz V'Machnos Yisrael. You have to stay completely away from everybody. It's contagious disease also, so it's apparently it's recommended for health purposes not to be near anybody else. But aside from it's both din-wise and health-wise, it's not, the person can't stay around anybody else. It's such a terrible onish Miriam HaTzadeik is God for speaking Lashon Hara, even though she didn't mean anything bad and her brother didn't feel bad about it and so on. Nevertheless, Hashem punished her so much, so certainly we should be nizer and yisur Lashon Hara. That's the kavanah that the Chafetz Chaim stresses in this mitzvah. The Rav once gave a long drasha about Zechiras Ches Miriam, and he thought that the Sheish Zechiros should somehow be connected with Yisodus and Amunim. He didn't think that that's all that it meant. It just means the Yisra Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is a terrible thing. In fact, one of the Averis HaChamuris, but he didn't think that that's all it is to the Zechiras Ches Miriam. Why did the Torah make such a fuss about Zechiras Ches Miriam? He thought that if the Torah makes a din of Zohar, that you have to have a Zechira, a constant reminding, there must be something more than that. He thought that the Rambam in the Yesodus HaEmunah has 13 Ibrei Hadas. So one of them is that we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give Nevuah and did give Nevuah to... He hasn't given Nevuah in a while, since the beginning of Ba'i Sheni, Chag Yisrael Malach with the last Nevi'im until Eliyahu Navi comes back. That's how it says at the end of Malach. We don't have Nevuah Bizman of that. But we believe that there was such a thing in Nevuah, and that it is possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give Nevuah to human beings, that there can be a communication between Hashem Yisbarach and human beings. That's one Yisrael in Emunah. And another Yisrael in Emunah, the Rambam writes is that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNevim. He was the greatest Navi from the Nevim who came before him and who came after him. And it first comes Sukkim and Chumash. Why is that considered a Yisoda Amunah that Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Navi? And where does that come from? So it comes from this week's Sedra, that the Torah says that Miriam and Aharon attacked their brother Moshe when they were choosing the Shivim Zakenim. So so they were making Goyrolos to choose who would be the Shivim Zakenim. And then Tzipora was standing by. Tzipora was the wife of Moshe Rabbeinu, so she was standing by and she heard the way these people were being chosen as leaders of the Jewish nation. So then she gave it back and she said, "Vada Rachmana," and they all became the vehementer that Ruach Hashem was Chalana, and they all had a Nevuah. But it's not with Lord Asafu, they had Nevuah. So she gave it back and she said, "Vada Rachmana," and these poor wives of whose husbands were just chosen as Nevi'im, and now they're not going to be able to lead a normal family life. And from the time that her husband became a Navi, Moshe Rabbeinu became a Navi, he was Pirish Minuish. They haven't led a normal life together, so it's Rachmanis on these girls, and they're going to lose their husbands. So Miriam and Aaron, I guess they're all staying together. Brothers and all, sisters and all, so they're standing next to each other. So when they heard that, so they said, "What do you mean? Who does this guy think he is? Araka from Moshe Dibra Hashem Halagam Bono Biber. We're also Nevi'im. What does he think? He's a better Navi than we are, bigger, greater Navi. We're also Nevi'im. We lead normal lives. He must be a big Baal Daiver, must have sugar in his Moshe Rabbeinu. He thinks that he's the greatest Navi in the world. And he's the only one. He has to be different from everybody else. That's terrible." So they gave an attack against Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't a public attack. They just said it. Tzipora, that they didn't think that it was right that their brother Moshe grabbed such a thing. Hashem came down from heaven and he punished Miriam and he said, "That's right. And yeah, you have Hashem and Mare Lovers Father Bachaloy Madab, but yeah, you have Nevuos, but Loy came out of the Moshe before they see Nemu, who paid out Abu Mara Lovers Chidus. Moshe Rabbeinu is different from everybody else. Everything is different. He is the Adon Hanavi." So it's interesting that Moshe Rabbeinu never told that to his wife, that he was the Adon Hanavi. She thought that anyone whose husband is an Avi has to be Pirish Miyishtoi. Bakir Moshe Rabbeinu was an honor. Torah says he was an honor. So we see from the parasha he was an honor. He never told his wife what it was all about. He just told his wife, "I'm an Avi, so I can't live with you anymore. I have to be Pirish Miyishtoi." And then she gave a crap. She thought that anyone who's an Avi is like that. And his brother and his own brother and sister never realized that he was the Adon Hanavi. They knew that he was the only one who was on Har Sinai. They knew that no one else went up to Har Sinai. They knew that he got the Torah. But they thought later on, after he came down from Har Sinai, they didn't realize that there was something greater and deeper in his Nevuah than in their Nevuah. They thought that they were on the same level as he was. Hashem himself told them, "Not true. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is on a higher level." And that's why Tel Dabar Boy, Rashi quotes from the Sifre, from the Gemara, Gemara Shabbos says, Tel Tel Dabarba means, "I told him to be Pirish Menuish." Gemara says in Shabbos that he thought of it on his own, then he's Kima Kadosh Baruch Hu Al Yodah. It's one of the three things that Moshe Rabbeinu did on his own. And Hashem Yisbach was masking with me. Gemara says, "How do you know he was masking?" Because it said, Tel Tel Dabarba means that I told him to be Pirish Menuish. But Moshe Rabbeinu never told that to his wife, never told it to the others that Hashem told him to. That's why he was attacked. That they thought that he was a tremendous Baal Gaiva. And it turned out that he wasn't a Baal Gaiva, but kept it was an honor. Very strange thing, that a person is attacked. Sometimes, let's say, there are different people. You look around in life, so you have different people. Some of them seem to be Anovim, some of them seem to be greater Anovim than the others. It's sometimes hard to tell who's a greater Anovim than who. It's hard to judge sometimes. But let's say to make such a mistake that I think that that person is a Baal Gaiva, the other person, and in truth, it's really not so. He's really the greatest honor in the world. Honor Mikol Adam. Moshe Rabbeinu was the honor Mikol Adam. Sher HaAdam. How can it be that they thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was such a Baal Gaiva, and that was a token of the Lashon Hara that they were attacking him about, and then Hashem Yisbach testifies about Moshe Rabbeinu's maid, that Faket, he's the greatest honor. It's quite a heretic between being quite a Baal Gaiva and being quite an honor, being the greatest honor. Something very strange about it. So it would appear from the Chumash that anova doesn't mean humility. It doesn't mean that a person is humble and doesn't make much of himself. If a person who is an anov is humble and doesn't make much of himself, so how could one be mistaken as being a Baal Gaiva? And then it turns out that he's an anov. What did he do? Did he act humble or did he act arrogant? Which was it? So it would appear that that's not exactly what anova is. Chavis Halvavis has two different terms. He says that Anova is one thing and Shiflus is a different thing. But we usually term as Anova, we usually call the person an Anova If he's quiet and he doesn't make a fuss about himself and so on, so the Chayyim Salvador said that's not always anav, but sometimes that's shiflus. He says a behemah has shiflus. Behemah, you can't speak of a behemah as having anav. A shofar means a person is just very low and doesn't make anything of himself. Anav is a different thing. Exactly what is anav, that's a problem. That's a question. That's what I want to speak about a little bit today. Exactly what is anav. There was obviously special. So what is it that they said that he's a Balgaiva, and then turned out that he was a great honor? Something strange going on here. We should have known that he's much greater than himself. No? The Maimon has to. So just as far as the Etzem Parsha itself, it's interesting, the Haftarah Parsha is Bahaloisa. The Haftarah Parsha is Bahaloisa is the same Haftarah Shabbos Chanukah. About the layers of the Tzachari. There always has to be some connection. First, there's always have to have some kind of connection between the Haftarah and the Parsha of Shavuot. And there is first to pick up one of the themes of the Parsha of Shavuot. What theme is picked up in the Haftarah of the Tzachari? So the Parsha is not assumed, some part assumed that the connection is an area. Chumash speaks in Bahaloska about the Menorah, and then you have in Sefer Zechariah you have a description of the Menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. That's possible, but it's a little bit questionable because the Menorah that's described in Zechariah wasn't really the Menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. It was a Mara HaNevuah, it was a Chaloyim that the Navi Zechariah had about a Menorah that didn't correspond to reality. It wasn't the real Menorah. That wasn't the way anything wasn't by Shein. So that's the question, if that's supposed to be the connection between the Sedra and the Haftarah. So there's an interesting comment that the Rambam has in the Mor HaNevuchim. Our local scholar is not here today again. But the Rambam has a comment in the Mor HaNevuchim where he points out that Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu was on a higher madrega. When he speaks about this, he's Sayyid and Amunah. The Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was on a higher madrega than that of the other Nevi. He would be Adon Nevi. So he brings out the following point. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was always absolutely clear 100%. Moshe came the other Nevi'im, sometimes the Nevuah was very unclear. And the epitome of being unclear is the Nevuah in Zechariah. That the Navi has this Mara HaNevuah of the olive trees with the olives falling down and getting crunched up by themselves and the oil coming out of the 49 streams. We spoke about our Hanukkah, no? 49 streams going into the menorah. It's a very strange Mara HaNevuah. And he says to the Malach HaDogavai, what in the world is this all about? The Malach says, come on, you know what that is. He says, no, I don't know what it is. He says, you know what it is. He says, no, what is it? He keeps on going back and forth. And he still doesn't tell him. He still doesn't answer the question until half a parak later, a parak and a half later. So he finally tells him what it is. Oh, the two olive trees, that's a symbol and a representation of Shnei B'nei HaYitzar. He still don't know what the answer is until you look in the Rashi. And Rashi quotes from the Yalkut. Rashi quotes from the Medrash. Such an unclear Nevuah. So the Rambam says that's the epitome of a Nevuah that's unclear. Look in the other Nevuah, it's also unclear. They had to figure out what the Nevuah was all about. Yirmiyahu Novi has Makal Shokar on the right, he sees it here. Rashi says on Shabbat that's the most difficult Novi. He has the most unclear Nevuah, and Rashi says with all of his Rashi Hanav, we still don't know what's going on. With the Eifor, you have the angels flying, the foxes flying, and Gemara has such difficulty explaining what the Nevuahs are. And red horses flying, and the red horses are flying on rose patches. Zechariah is the most difficult of all, very sure. That was the beginning of Bayi Sheni, when Hashem Yisbach didn't want to give any Nevuah at all. The only reason I gave any Nevuah, the Gemara says he didn't want to give any Nevuah because they didn't come up in a big Aliyah. They even wanted to stay in bubbles. So since nobody showed up, so that's why Harekim Sholabod, he won the first Derek in Yuma. That's how Hashem Yisbach wanted the Rekev, his rotting, to set in the Nevuah, didn't want any Nevuah, just HaKadosh they had, other things, but didn't have Nevuah by Shem. And the only reason why he gave Nevuah to Chagas Kar Malachi, the Gemara says, it's long, because that's necessary in order to be able to build the Nishma, to be able to build the Nevuah, the Beit HaMikdash. You have to have it authorized by Novi. Yeah. No, he did understand it, but he had a great difficulty. He had a hard time making a layman. after he was explained to him and after he worked hard, then he figured out what it was. It was a Dvar Hashem, but it was difficult to understand. So it could be the way the Rambam points out in the Mor in the Bukhim, that Sefer Zechariah, and specifically this passage in Zechariah, is the most obvious section of Nevi'im, which indicates the contrast between the words Moshe Rabbeinu and that of Shah Nevi'im, that the Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevu'ah, the Gemara says Nevu'ah, Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevu'ah, the Gemara says Nevu'ah, the Gemara says his Nevu'ah was so clear. And Shah Nevi'im, when the Snabe Baskat Gloria Yishen Nevi'ah, their Nevu'ah was not that clear. So it could be that that's the theme of the Haftarah. It says, if you, brother and sister, Aaron and Miriam get in the vuah, you get in the vuah, but Mara. Loikin Abdi Moshe, b'chol beisim nemenu, tell Baba Bo, for Mara, for Loi b'chidus, he gets a Mara, he doesn't get chidus. He says, the Rosh Hashanah says, you get a Mara, and then he says, Moshe Abin is different, he gets a Mara. Same word, no? They get a Mara, he gets a Mara. So Chaim Olozhin says, no, that one is Mara, one is Mara. He said, one is with a comment, one is with a segel. You look at Machum, there's a difference. So he says that there's a difference in meaning. He says that one means a mirror, and one means a telescope, a looking glass. He says that the other Nevi'im got the Nevu'ah like in a mirror. They saw a reflection of Dvar Hashem. They didn't see the Dvar Hashem clearly. The Gemara makes the contrast in Yivam. The Gemara says, Shah Nevi'im had Aspeklori She'ein Me'ira. Aspeklori means a looking glass, no? So they had the ability to see Dvar Hashem, but not in a clear fashion. Moshe Rabbeinu had Aspeklori Ha'mir, he had the clearest form of Nevu'ah. So that's what the Pasuk reads, that Moshe Rabbeinu gets a Nevu'ah. Mara means that he gets a clear Nevu'ah like one who looks through a telescope, a looking glass. Moshe Rabbeinu and the others, they had a Nevu'ah that was like a mirror. And in fact, Rashi quotes on Chumash that when they made the Mishkan, how did Rashi say, B'tzel Kel Ha'yisa? On B'tzawa. Why was it called B'tzawa? Because B'tzel Kel Ha'yisa. But at that time, Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevu'ah was like that of the Shar HaNevi'im. They had a mirror image of what the Nevu'ah was. And Hashem told them first to make the Klei HaMishkan, and then to make a Mishkan. And that's when Moshe Rabbeinu told over the Tzara, and then the Tzara did Fakir. Why did he do Fakir? Because Moshe Rabbeinu told him first to make the Kelim, and then the Mishkan. So the Tzara said, how can you do that? First you have to make a Mishkan, and then have a place to put the Kelim into it. He said, right, the tzel kel ha'yisa, you in the shadow of Hashem. What does it mean, the shadow? The shadow is always the opposite from what the person is. No? When I wave my right hand, when I face you, so my right hand is facing your left hand. When I wave my right hand, my shadow is waving his left hand. So everything is the opposite. Now when you look in the mirror, everything is opposite. It's not the way it really is. No? If I tell you that you have a smudge on top of your on top of this eye, so which eye are you going to clean off? So it's the opposite for me. It's not that it's the right eye. I mean, you, when I right over here, I mean your left eye. The one who faces me, my mirror image is always the opposite of me. It's not my. It's not exactly what I look like. Everything is fakir, no? So that's what it means. But tzel kel ha'yisa. How come Moshe Rabbeinu had over there a mirror image of the Nevu'ah? The answer is that we spoke about that. The answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't always have this size for Gloria Hamira. The Shaslevi and Chumash, that the Yitzchak Bichler explains that sometimes Moshe Rabbeinu had Nevu'ah in a Pchina of Shah Nevi'im, sometimes he had a Nevu'ah in the Madrega of Nevu'ah of Moshe Rabbeinu Adon Hanavim. When did he have which? So he says, simple, whenever he had a Nevu'ah that was Luderis, whenever he had a Kabbalah of Terah Mitzvahs, then he had the Nevu'ah in the Madrega of Askatoria Hamira. Whenever he had a Nevu'ah that was only a Hirosh Shor, wasn't the Din L'Deris, it was only a Rosh Hashanah, then he had a Nevu'ah in the same Tzina as the other Nevi'im. That's the Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Matos, where Rashi says, in the name of the Sifrei, Sifrei says like that, that Kol HaNevi'im Nisnabu B'Koyam Ar Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu was also Nisnabu B'Koyam Ar Hashem. Several times Moshe Rabbeinu introduced in Zerul by saying Koyam Ar Hashem. And Moshe Falei Moshe, in addition to that, over and above the Koyam Ar Hashem, he also had Nevu'ah And then this Sakhab Zeh Hadava Shatib Hashem. What's the difference between Koyama Hashem and Zeh Hadava? So the Kedusha Slavi is not, but that's the difference. The Zeh Hadava means an exact direct quotation, word for word, letter for letter. And Moshe Rabbeinu was the only Navi who had a Nevuah Baspetlori Hamir. He had this clear Nevuah, direct, exact quotation of what the Tzibur Hashem is. Hashem came Shanavi and they had a Nevuah of Koyama Hashem. They had a Chazon and a Mare. They saw a vision of something and then they had to interpret it. So they said, Koyama Hashem means this is approximately what Hashem would think. Not exact, it's not an exact quotation. This is roughly speaking, this is what the Divine Hashem is. Moshe Rabbeinu also had sometimes Koyama Hashem. And when did Moshe Rabbeinu have Koyama Hashem? When did he have Zehada or Shatzib Hashem? So the Kedusha Slegi points out, if you look carefully in the Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu had the Nevuah of Koyama Hashem when he said, Ahiru Ashur. And whenever he said a Nevuah of the Dirt, it's a real din, a fair image, then he said Zehada or Shatzib Hashem. I don't know. You have to look in Chumash, you have to look in the Parsha. But that's how the Kedusha Slavi explains. The Rashi is the beginning of Parshas Matas. Zeh Hadavar Shetziv Hashem by Hafaris and Zohar. And the Kedusha Slavi explains in his paper that that's the difference. You have to look through each case and see exactly when it says Koyam Hashem, what does the Ahiru Asher? When it says Zeh Hadavar, what does the Dinu Dirt? So it would appear that this is exactly the contrast. The Rambam considers this one of the Yisraelis Emunah. The Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu, all of Asholah, was the greatest, was on a higher madrega than that of the Shar HaNevim. And it would seem that that is exactly the theme of the Kriya this week with the Haftarah. That the Kriya gives you, where Hashem tells Aaron and Miriam that Moshe Rabbeinu is different, Lekein Abdi Moshe is completely different from the other Nevim. And the Haftarah gives you a pointed example of this, where the Navi Zachari was unable to understand, even after the Malach tells him a thousand several times, still doesn't understand what the Maran is. Until he really figures it out, he has to work very hard to understand the Maran. What is exactly the chap in the Gaiva with the Anava? That's very unclear. So the heart of the chap is the following. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Miod Miod Hevish Falua. What's the pshat? Miyod, miyod. You should be very, very careful to be a shvalua, not to be a gay, to be an honor. So the Rambam writes pshat in Pirush HaMishnayos, and he says the same pshat in Yom HaZoker, that the Mishnah pshat is like this. The Mishnah tells you that this is the Yetzim in HaKlal. Usually the Klal is, you have to go Bishvim HaZoker, B'derach HaMutzim. The Baruch Shalom wants of us, when it comes to leaders, comes to Hanhagim leaders, we shouldn't go to either extreme. Shouldn't be a person should not be a miser, nor should he spend all of his money like a drunken sailor. He should be the Derech HaMutzim. Person should always be laughing and giggling. Usually that's a sign that you shouldn't, because as a nervous breakdown, giggling all the time. So a person shouldn't always be laughing and hysterical, shouldn't be dead serious all the time. He should be in a normal, cheerful mood all the time. A person shouldn't be, a person shouldn't dress always the most expensive clothes, and he shouldn't walk around in rigs, he should dress everything. Derecham with Rama has a whole lot of issues wrong on that. And that's where the Torah wants. One of the great Jewish philosophers of a few hundred years ago had a whole attack against the Rambam that he picked this up from the Goyim. What did the Rambam have to put all this kind of baloney into the Yad HaZoker? He picks up philosophy from Aristotle about the golden mean, the golden way, the little path. That's not to be a kitsoni in this direction, that direction. He puts all this in the safe album. Philosophy, write a book on Goyish ethics or something. What do you have to put in? That's what Shadal has to kind of against the Rambam. So the Rambam, so the Maritzkain has an essay where he comes to protect the Rambam. This is Pastor Chavila. Of course the Rambam got it from the Goyim. But whatever the Rambam got from the Goyim, and he didn't find in a Chazal, in the Gemara, he wouldn't have to put in some medical point that he wants to bring out. But he wouldn't make a whole theme that this is the Derech HaTorah, this is what the Torah wants. But how can you say this is the Derech HaTorah? But he picked it up from the Goyim, also got it from Chazal also. This is true, the main theme is found by the Goyim, but it's found in the Gemara also, it's found in Rosh. Where is it found? So the Rambam himself explains in the Pirush HaMishnayos, and Pirkei Avos, that that's the Pshat and not Mishnah. This is a Mishnah. Mishnah says, Miyod, Miyod, Hevish, Fagroch, what's the Kavanah? Mishnah means to say the following, that in all other midas, the Torah requires of us, we should go the Derech HaMemutzo, in the middle path, not to be to this extreme or to that extreme, with the exception of Gaiva. Gaiva is the one exception. That's the Mishnah says, Miyod, Miyod, Hevish, Fagroch, we have to go to that extreme. respect the guy, you have to be a kitzen. And that's what the Rambam quotes in the Yad HaChazaka as well. He quotes in the Yad HaChazaka, he quotes two exceptions to the rule. Rishon only has one guide, and the Yad HaChazaka so he has guide and kas. What's the makkah for kas? The pshat is that the Rambam held, this is the Rambam's extension, the Rambam held that kas is identical with guide. And when a person blows up and starts screaming, gets furious and angry at someone else, it's because the person probably has midas ha-guide. A person wouldn't have guide, he wouldn't have kas. If these two midas, he holds the pants are identical. So he writes at the Mishnah that tells us, miyod miyod, that when it comes to guide, you shouldn't be b'derech ha-mamutzo, you have to go to the extreme. That applies also to kas, because kas belongs under the same category as guide. So the Rambam apparently got it from that Mishnah. That's what he writes himself. He writes under the Perush HaMishnah, but that's Gemara. It's interesting that like a Mishnah has on that Rambam Asbir. The Rambam, you look in Hilchos Deis, so the Rambam, I think in Perek Beis and then in Perek Gimel, if I'm not mistaken, one Perek after the other. So one Perek he writes that the Torah requires of us to drop and show us walk in the face of Hashem and have needless turns. And then that means we should go up to Shvil HaMamutza. All our written words, like a translation of Aristotle. Then he starts giving examples. He says about spending money, being a cheap miser, so you should go in the middle. About all the others. Then he gives about kas, you should go in the middle. Then he gives about gaivi, you should go in the middle. All the needles, you should always go in the middle. Then the next parrot, he says, when it comes to gaivi and kas, you shouldn't go in the middle. So the Lakhanishna is astira gluya nerama. When he gives his whole background, when he gives the principle of going, when he develops the whole thing of going to Shvil HaMamutza, he gives as examples, he gives you kas and he gives you gaiven. Then in the next parak he tells you that kas and gaiven are two exceptions to the rule. So how does he use those as examples in Kosta Hasbir? He doesn't have any terms. So then he says, Pshetla, whatever. So the Yosemech says on that, Lech HaMishnah, I am Pirish HaMishnah, is the Doit. Does he look in the Pirish HaMishnah, it's on Pirkei Yovas, I'm not Mishnah, Miyod, Miyod. And he says the teretz will be found in the Pirush HaMishnah. What is a teretz? The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah says that one is a din deraisa and one is a din derabbanan. That's what the Rambam shita is. Not everybody agrees. We'll get to it. The Rambam shita is that midyar raisa neos mech just says in one line. Look in Pirush HaMishnah, that's the teretz. When the Rambam in the first parak, I think it's parak based in parak gimel in Hilchos Beis, when he gives you in the first parak the whole philosophy where the whole shita, the hashkaf of Shvil HaMamutza, so he gives you an example of kas and gaiva and everything, puts it all together. That's the dindya raisis, you have to go to derech HaMamutza and everything. But you have a lot of times hachok is, there is the rabbanon. You have a dindya raisis, you're allowed to carry in a karmelis. But the rabbanon, they said, you're not allowed to carry in a karmelis. You have all kinds of dinim in the rabbanon. You're not allowed to write with your left hand on Shabbos. If you're righty, then I tell you, you're allowed to write with your left hand because it's kalach hayad. But the rabbanon, they made it zeri, you're not allowed to write with your left hand. So the Rambam clearly implies in the Pirush HaMishnah and Pirkei Avos that this din of miyod miyod, Levitus Yishyav Noem and miyod miyod, Hevish Paluach is only a gzeira de Rabbanon. The Diaraisa, Gaiva and Kas are the same as all the other midas. And the Rabbanon, the Perush HaChok, they said they better go miyod miyod, Hevish Paluach, not to go b'shvil HaMamutza, because it's very hard to gauge when it comes to Gaiva whether you're in the middle or you're at the end. So when it comes to dressing, sometimes you can see the other guy dresses gorvitz and the other guy dresses shabby, dungaree, sneaker, whatever. So you go to Shvil HaMamutza, you dress normally. You dress decently. You don't dress to kill, you don't dress to drop dead. You dress something in the middle, that is really normal. You don't spend, like in sugar, you don't spend all your money, you don't be a miser, a crazy miser, you do everything in Shvil HaMamutza. So the person can look around and see what the Shvil HaMamutza. When it comes to guys in cars, the family, you don't hold that deal apart. Gauge. Everybody thinks, nobody thinks that he's about that. Everybody thinks that he's reason or not. So whenever comes any subject, so the person will always say, yeah, that's still in the middle. That's still holding, that's still in the Shvil HaMamutza. Because it's there that Rabbanim said that we don't trust anybody to judge what's the Shvil HaMamutza. Everybody has to go to the extreme, to be at the tiny, and we are having some real, like there that Rabbanim. That's what the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnah and the others. The Yosemite says that's the end of the terrace, he thinks that is the end of the terrace. To the spear in the Rambam. I think Dr. Lehm was talking about him. He said, listen, I don't understand what he said. I think there's some kind of a terrorist on this side. The Rambam says that's the end of the story. Look in the Pirush HaMishnah. He says himself what he means. He says, there's the Rambam. Who disagrees with the Rambam? Chayor. Chayor disagrees with the Rambam. Chayor, what we say, can you also shout that's called Zichur Terrorist HaMishnah. And he keeps the Hilchah Shabbat. He has a hakdama to the Zichur Teres Meizir, which he writes with a tremendous An essay on Lucy, he recommends everybody should read it. There's a Tshuva for Yisrael, there's a Chanafi, Mehadim. And his Musa Drosh and the Hagdamah said, it's different, there's no Hagdamah. The Musa Hagdamah has nothing to do with the state. The state is all here for Shabbos, like the Chayyorim. It's like a regular Chayyorim, it's different for Yisrael. And the Hagdamah is like Tam, a minor on Musa. So in the Hagdamah, he writes about these things. And he develops the following idea. He seems to be assuming the following. Where did the Rambam get it from that you should go b'shvil al mamutza? From Aristotle. Okay. The whole thing Imam is translated from Aristotle. You're right. But it's found in the Gemara also. The Rambam said that Shan the Mishnah. You already have Ishbal Rosh. That guy is different from the other Mishnah. But the Mishnah. What kind of a thing? Where did the Mishnah get it from? That the halach of the Drachah means you should go b'shvil al mamutza. So the Chayyadam seems to be assuming the following. He doesn't spell it all out, but it seems to be assuming. The Rambam gave a big Drosh. He explained like this without the Chayyadam. But the Chayyam seems to be learning like this also, and Hakdamah to the Zichotoy Tanya. That the halach of the Drachim means you have to emulate the midas of Hashem is God. It doesn't mean that you should develop these midas. We spoke already, it means that the Rebbein Shalom created us with the midas, he created us to sell Malachim with these midas tavis, and he told us to preserve the midas that we have. He's not telling us to do a difficult, to do such a difficult or perhaps impossible job of developing these midas. He told us we were born with these midas, we should preserve the midas, not to be mekal for them. So what are the midas of Hashem Yisbarach? Good, kind. That's what I'm thinking. What are the midas that the Rebbein Shalom have? I don't know. What are his midas? What, how do you know what the midas of Hashem Yisbarach are? Because the Rambam says, you'd give him midas. Yeah, that's hard. But how can we emulate those are hard to do. What are the midas of Hashem Yisbarach? How do we know? So the Rambam explains in the Yad HaZakah, Mon Ruchim he has also, but in Yad HaZakah he has it. For this you don't need the Mon Ruchim. So in Yad HaZakah, that Kol HaNeviim, any description that the Neviim give of Hashem, what is the purpose of describing Hashem, in order to know how to properly be the kind of mitzvah of a halach of the drachos. You cannot figure out, a human person, a human being cannot figure out on his own, with all the philosophies he'll study from today till 100 years from now, till 120, he'll never figure out what the Rebbein Shalom is like. How can anybody grasp all the truth? Something that you cannot, it's not shaykh to be master, it's a different wavelength. He comes in a different thing, it's not in this world. It's not that if a person is smart and is a bigger genius to figure out more. It's a completely different house. So it's Lamalim and Ateva. So the only way it's shaykh to understand anything about Elohim is if you have his galus, if you have a divine revelation. In the divine revelation, the Rebbein Shalom shows us how he acts, or he tells us how he acts. Where did he show us, where did he tell us? From the Nevi'im, how did his galus from Hashem? Exactly how he runs his affairs, how he does his daily routine, and how he goes about his business. How does he run his shop? So the Nevi'im tell us. So the Nevi'im who describe Hashem are telling us this in order that we should know what the midas, what the attributes of Hashem is Baruch Hu, what the Rukus is all about, in order that we should know what midas were implanted within us, to know what midas we have to preserve. People have all kinds of midas. We have to know which are the midas that are Rukus and which are the evil midas, which are the ones that are not supposed to be stressed so much. Which are the meanings of the other that should be stressed, and which are the other ones that should not be stressed on it. So what types of are the meanings? You look through the Nevi'im, what are the meanings that Hashem Yisbarach has described as having? So if you look through Tanakh carefully, you'll find that the Rebbein Shalom describes as having all the meanings of our time. Everything. And one place it's described as being happy, another place it's described as being sad. So I have to emulate the meanings of Hashem Yisbarach, I have to be happy and I have to be sad. So the Pasuk in Shir HaShir that says he's happy, the Pasuk in Ezra Nechemi that says that he's sick. So he says, let's get it. And the Pasuk here that says that he's angry, and the Pasuk here that says that he's tough. So you have to be angry and calm at the same time. So how can you do all these contradictory things at the same time? So the answer is, you have to go, b'shvil al mamutza. Compromise. You got to go in the middle. If you go in the middle, b'shvil al mamutza, then you're being hoichet b'zeh b'zeh. You're doing both this media and that media. You're doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that at the same time. Apparently that's the cloud, that's the Chayyarnon, that's the cloud where the Rambam got it from the Mishnah. He got it from the Goyim also, but where the Tanya, well, that's the Mishnah to the other. Where did the Mishnah get it from that you have to always go the Shvila Mamutza? Got it from the Torah, while after the drop, and the Nevi'im tell you what the Dafa Hashem are. And the Nevi'im describes the Rebbein Shalom as having opposite contradictory. Contradictory meters, and that's one of the oceans where they're together, that's Dafa. Okay, so that Chabal Bishnei Rosh and has to hold on to both ends of the string at the same time. But then the Shul Amin comes to Gaiveh, he's a Chayyar of the Shul Amin. Comes to Gaiveh, about the Shmiras HaMitzvot based on the pasuk Vayi Baliba B'Darach Hashem. As a whole minor on that theme, that he coins a term that he calls a Gaiva Dikadusha. What means Gaiva Dikadusha means sometimes you have to have Gaiva, sometimes not. So he's saying that Gaiva is the same as all the other mitzvot. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. It's not that it's Liyod, Niyod, Hevish, Vayuah. And the Gemara, that's one kasha. Then there's another kasha that the Gemara says in Perek HaNidoshim, in the Agarot of the Churban. The Gemara says at the time of the Churban Ma'ishen, there was a Tana who was the God of Hador at that time, of Abschai ben Abkulas, and because of his Anova, Amasanusa, Abschai ben Abkulas, Achrigas Beis Seinu. It's because of his Anova that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And the Gemara tells the whole story that he didn't want to take a stand on Paschalim Mishad. So it's his Anova that caused the Churban Agayis. What do you mean his Anova? How can the Gemara use the term of Bryce? It says Amasanusa, Abschai ben Abkulas, Achrigas Beis Seinu, the Hebrew son of the Ben Han, and before everything is his fault, they pin all the blame, and his Anova, what do you want him to do? You want him to be a Geyer? The Mishnah states of Hadin, the Yod, a person is never permitted to be a Bal Gaiva, even the big stuff, you're not supposed to use that meat at all. Come to the Chayyot and sit in the right, you always have to go to the extreme position. Apparently, you have to give a definition of Gaiva and Anova in order to know what's Gaiva and what's Anova. So there's another kasha. This kasha, the Harbal Habitat. Aaron and Miriam were attacking Moshe Rabbeinu that he was a Baal Gaiva. Who does he think he is? Harakatam Moshe Dibar Hashem Halo Gambonu Dibar. We are also living. What do you think? That he's greater than everybody else? He has to be Pirish Manish. So they attacked Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem gave the answer that the answer is yes. That Moshe Rabbeinu is a higher Navi. Who does he think he is? The answer is yes, he's greater than you. Loikein Abdi Moshe Mniach Hashem Imar Loikein Abdi Moshe Moshe Rabbeinu is greater. So we understand why Hashem is not going to give that part of the Musa Shmur to Aaron. You're telling Moshe Rabbeinu is good. Then we have a phrase, the Chol Beisi Memunu. Why is that put in over here, the Chol Beisi Memunu? What is the significance of that in the context of the parasha? Were they picking on him that he wasn't the Memun? That was the, what was the question? And what is the Pshat, the Chol Beisi Memunu? A very honest, trustworthy fellow. Moshe Rabbeinu is very honest. Chol Beisi Nemanu. That's how the Mishkan is Yankee says Pshat, the Chol Beisi Nemanu. It's quoted in one of the end of Makkot. It's quoted the very end of Makkot, where the Gemara says that there was an Amora by the name of Rav Safra, who was such a great tzaddik, he used to many times repulse it, there's Lamus Buvolo. Wasn't there Lamus Buvolo? The Rashi quotes the Medrash from the Sefer HaGodot. We spoke about it this year, at the beginning of the first period. That Rav Safra was one in the middle of davening, and a customer came to his shop to buy something, and the customer said, "I'd like to buy it for $5." And he said, "Davening, whatever, to the Zimmer or whatever, film." So he said, So the customer thought that he didn't like the price. He said, "I'll give you more. I'll give you $7, $10, whatever." And then by the time he finished Krishman or davening, whatever it was, so he said, "No, I was in the middle of davening. I couldn't be mopsic. At the time that you offered $5, I agreed then. And since I agreed to leave, even though you didn't realize it, you thought that I wasn't going to sell it to you because you didn't offer enough. You kept on offering more money. Now you're offering so much more. I'm not going to accept the higher price because they've run this move over. Since I, in my heart, I agreed to the lower price, so as a Midas Chassidus, I'm not going to take more." The Shaila, that's only a Midas Chassidus. Nikra Din, Shaila, some person wants a real Din. Yeah, Rashi, the end of Marcus, I don't know what I want. Focus on the Mesillas Hashem course. Of Safra, they were on his result. Mesil Shem quotes also. Rashi quotes it from the Sefer HaGodot. We don't have it. Rashi quotes every so often. Rashi reported in HaGodot that's not found in the Gemara or in Yerushalmi. Found Sefer HaGodot. There's a separate Sefer that has HaGodot from the Amalek. They found it, I think, from the Cairo Gliese. They printed it to, I think, Gaskwek. I forgot his name. Somebody from the seminary a long time ago, 40, 50 years ago, printed the Sefer HaGodot. Shechter from the Shechter Seminary got the whole Cairo Gliese, don't they? So this fellow Gaspar from the seminary years ago, a long time ago, before I was born, published the Sefer HaGodot that all of these Rashi a lot of times quotes, Rashi quotes about Bruria that she committed suicide and went out to Maisa. The Gemara said there's some great tragedy happened to Bruria. It doesn't say what. The Rashi quotes Aganta Maisa and Avodah Zarah. We don't know what the source is, not found anymore. That's also in the Sefer HaGodot, a lot of these Rashis. But he was nicknamed Raksa. I don't know, that's in the Gemara, I don't remember. Could be. So this fellow was called Rav Safra. That was his name. So the Mishkan and Sanka writes in the Sefer Kehelas Yam. I don't know, that's in the Gemara, I don't remember. Could be. So this fellow was called Rav Safra. That was his name.
So the Mishnah in Sanhedrin writes in the Sefer Kehelet Sanhedrin, he has a few, one page of Drush, Chumash, I got it. So he thinks that his name wasn't Rav Safi, he thinks that was his nickname. He thinks he must have had a different name. But he was nicknamed Rav Safi because Moshe Rabbeinu was the Safar Rabbi. It says in the Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Shom Chelkes Mechaikik Sofer, Moshe. Mechaikik means a sofer, a scribe. Targum says in that passage, Mechaikik means Safar Rabbi Dison. Moshe Rabbeinu is called the Safar Rabbi Dison, the great, famous, great scribe. One wrote the whole, one who authored the Chumash. He didn't author it in the sense, he didn't compose it, it wasn't his original, but he was the first one who wrote down, dictated by the Rabban Shalom. He was the scribe who wrote on the Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu is called the Safar Rabbi Shalom. So Rav Safar was nicknamed Rav Safar. He suggests he must have some other name. He's nicknamed Rav Safar because he had this meet of Moshe Rabbeinu of David Ramos Golfava. Where do you see that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Isha Amos who ever lived? It says on the Chumash, it says, Bechol Beisim Naminu. So the question is, but why did that have to be written over here in Parshas Balos? So he wasn't being attacked as a faker, as a liar, was he? Were Miriam and Aaron attacking him that he told a lie or something, that the Rabban Shalom tells him the whole basic name? What's the pshat over there? So I think perhaps the pshat is the following. The Gemara has in a story, Agarta, a very shver Agarta in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, in the beginning of Aisheni, a piece came down from heaven. Piece of paper came down from heaven, and it had written on it Aleph Mem Tov. It spells out the word Emes. What was that supposed to be? The Gemara says that was an autograph of the Rabban Shalom. Signed his name, and he sent it down from heaven. And what does that story tell you? Very strange. What does that story tell you? The Gemara says Chassam Shalom Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes. That everybody signs their name. Whoever, whatever you sign your name, you write down whatever your name is. Lefty, whatever, Whitey, whatever. So the Rabban Shalom writes Emes. That means Chassam Shalom Kadosh Baruch Hu. Emes, that's the way he signs his name. What does it mean, Chassam Shalom Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes? A very shver agadah. What is it driving at? What's the kavana? So perhaps what the kavana is the following, that the Iker Midah of Elikus is Midah Sa'emis. You find all other Midahs, that the Rabban Shalom has this Midah and he has the other Midah, he has that Midah, he has the other Midah, he has contradictory Midahs. And we assume that the Rabban Shalom has the both Midahs, and that's why we are told, the Halacha of the Drocha, the Mishnah implies the Shikov Shvila of Musa. When it comes to Midah Sa'emis, perhaps there the Agarata means to say, he doesn't have any contradictory Midahs. He only has one meter. Midah Sa'emis. He never has sometimes a little sheker and sometimes a little emes. What does it mean, doesn't have sheker? The Gemara learns that from Avraham Avinu, that his mitzvah was shaken from Dr. Shom. Look at the shaken from Dr. Shom. The Rabban Shom said, Avraham Avinu, that Sarah said, Vaniza Kantin, she really said, Vadeni Zokin. She said, Achri Beloi Si Haisu Li Yedno, Benichusa. I became a young lady, Pierce a Sarah Nido Asa Yom. That's Benichusa. Vadeni Zokin, but my husband is an old man. How can I have children? Nicha, me, I can have, but my husband is an old man. But then when the Rabban Shom tells Avraham Avinu, your wife, Lama Zat Sochaka Sarah, that she said Vaniza Kanti. She didn't say Aniza Kanti. She said, Achri Bilei Se Haisila Yadno Benichusa, not Bitzmiya. Now she quotes from the marriage. Benichusa, Pirsa, Nido, I can have children, but my husband is unable to. So Banisham told a lie. So the Gemara says, Mikan, you see the Banisham tells a lie also because of Shalom. Bai says, Mutal Hashem is never Shalom. Mitzvah, Mutal Hashem. So what do you mean the Banisham is only Nisham is he never tells any lies? Some of our meetings like this, he never misrepresents himself. Sometimes that's what it means. The ego part of Emes is not that you tell the truth, not tell a lie. So one of the significant aspects of Emes. But the ego point of Emes is that a person should not misrepresent himself. And that's exactly what Gaiva means. Apparently the Chacham in hell, the Tanoim al Reva Chayorno, the Chacham held that Midas HaGaiva means Midas HaSheker. Midas HaNova means Midas HaEmes. So take a Masha like this. You have the Gemara. We were talking before about the funny Gemara at the end of Sefer. The Gemara says that Mishnah's Rebbe, the last piece of Gemara, when Rebbe died, Rila Nasi died, but La Nova. There's no more real Anova in the world. One of the Amorim says, what are you talking about? Rila Anova? What about me? I'm not an The Bali Musa are all talking about that Gemara. What do you mean? He says, Rila Anova, what about me? I'm such an honor. So how can he speak about himself if he's an honor? So apparently, there must be something different about what Pshat and Anova is different from the way we usually understand it. That famous story about Rav Chaim that he once went to a people for Rabbanim and they were discussing the issue of secularization, whether to introduce secular studies into the yeshivas or not. I think that was the issue. And the other, the Hasidic Rabbanim and Rosh Yeshivas and Zayim, what kind of big Zayim and Tzadikim and Zayim get together? Rav Chaim said they can't do it. The other said, well, maybe it's a Shas HaGzeira, Shas HaShma, maybe we should do this. He said, no. And he said, let's have a vote. He said, what do you mean a vote? I said, no. And he got furious and he got angry. He walked out and said, the Briskerov, he got angry. I'm the Briskerov, and I said, the dinner is like this. What do you mean he's the Briskerov? Everybody else has an opinion of Mamish about Gaiva. So you find Moshe Rabbeinu was always like that. Moshe Rabbeinu was very opinionated. No. Whenever people would do chatan, he would scream, he would hit them and beat them and start tumbling and everything. He was a real leader. He was the only one out there at Sinai. And he knew his position and he wore the master. He pointed out he wore the master. He didn't know that Loyada Moshe calling upon them when he found out that he wore the master. It was clear that he was different from everybody else. And he was a tremendous takif. He was a very stark takif. So a person who's a big takif is often misunderstood as being about Gaiva. Sometimes he's about Gaiva, and sometimes he's not about Gaiva, but he's misunderstood as being about Gaiva. When is the person about Gaiva and when not? It depends. If the person is overstepping his bounds, then he's about Gaiva. But if he's acting in accordance to what his position is, it's not the expression goes. It's not the minor chazal. The Mishnah is in Pirkei Avos. Some of the various leaders that a Tanakhama has to have, all the different things that a person has to have, shatter mitzvah, one is that he should be makaris mekayma. Makaris mekayma means the person has to know exactly what position in life he fills. He shouldn't exaggerate his significance. I know, I say the greatest shiur in America, but if I think that I say the greatest shiur in the whole world, that would be guidance. If I say the greatest shiur in America, that's a fact. That's a fact. So if a person thinks that he says the greatest shiur in the whole world, then he's missed... then he's exaggerating his importance. But if a person thinks that he doesn't say the greatest shiur in America, I don't say the greatest shiur, that's also a sheker. Because I do. If it were true that I say the greatest shiur, and I would not think so, and I wouldn't take a stand, but say if there would be a meeting of the Rosh Hashivas, and they would have an issue, and I wouldn't say, look, I'm the biggest Rosh Hashiva here, so you have to listen to everything that I say. If I wouldn't take the firm stand, that would be midas hasheker, because ezel chacham hamakras mekoymoy. The person has to know what position he has in life. He shouldn't miscalculate, misjudge. He shouldn't misjudge. Not lahakam, not lahakam. He shouldn't think that he's greater. This would usually think that guy is. He shouldn't think that he's greater than he really is. Nor should he have a lower estimate of himself than he really is. He shouldn't think lower of himself than he is. Moshe Rabbeinu was not about guy. Moshe Rabbeinu was b'chol beis inamin, who is the greatest ishtaimis. Ishtaimis in the same sense that the Barasham is ishtaimis. He never misrepresented. He always knew what his makom was. He knew he was the greatest one. It doesn't mean that he's going to take advantage improperly of that position. He didn't demand anything extra because of that. He didn't say that they have to give him breakfast in bed because he's Moshe Rabbeinu. Because he's Adon HaNaviim. Whatever his position demanded of him, that's what he did. He used to scream. He used to give musar. That was required of him because of that. He didn't think that therefore everybody has to carry a mishtachavet to him. He didn't think that therefore they have to pay him a crazy salary and he doesn't have to pay taxes or whatever. He's entitled to violate the laws or whatever it is. He didn't take advantage improperly of his position. He knew what his position was. He was not his family, and he did accordingly. So that's difficult. Let's say if you have the Briskerov comes to the meeting and he walks out and he says, I'm the Briskerov, you have to listen to me. That's all. The Tevaliyatzmo, that like the Mishnah says, that's your job. You shouldn't be proud. You shouldn't be proud or be arrogant about anything. You shouldn't be proud and arrogant about anything that you're supposed to be doing. That you're doing that you're supposed to be doing if it's not for the purpose of getting others to be using. So what are you just showing off? So that's more than your position requires. That's not required of your position. Every person has to act in accordance with what his position in life is. And that's how the things in Tanaim, that's how the Chayorim understands Pshat and Mishnah. That's how the Tanaim apparently understood the Midas HaEmes and Midas HaAnavah. These two are the same here.